You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to the WP Tonic Show. We've got a great show here, Tribe. We've got a friend of the show. He's been on the show before, but he pointed out to me that that particular show was in 2017, which made me feel quite old, Tribe. We got Robert Duval with us. He's a well-known WordPress developer, part of the WordPress community, entrepreneur, and he's best known for his work with WP Dispensary, but he has produced a number of plugins. It's going to be a show about his experience, what he's learned on his journey. It should be a great show. So, Robert, would you like to give us just a really quick intro? And then when we go into the main part of the show, you can give a more detailed intro.
Sure. I'm Robert DeVore. I've been developing with WordPress since 2005. Themes, plugins, and everything in between, client work, maintenance. I've done it all. I've been here, there, and everywhere around the area. So I'm excited to be here again and be back on the show again.
Yeah. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show, Robert. And I've got my great co-host, extremely patient around my continued nonsense. I've got my Kurt here. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Sure thing, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own an agency called Mañana No Mas. I also work directly with WP Tonic and the great folks at Lifter LMS.
And I just want to say, Kirk has really, the past couple of years, Kirk, it's been a pleasure that you've been part of the WP Tonic family and being my co-host, because you've been a great co-host, Kirk.
Yeah, we'd have thought it would have been a couple of years.
Yeah, it's gone so quick, Kirk. It's just, I don't know what to say about it. But before we go into the meat and potatoes of this great show, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back. I want to point out that we've got some great special offers from the sponsors. Plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services for the WordPress professional. You can get all these goodies, these free goodies, by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. And you find the special offers plus the curated list that will save you a ton of time all there. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get from that page. They love me saying that, Robert. I have no idea, but it's become a theme of the show, me saying that. So, Robert, like I say, I'm sure we covered this in 2017, but I can't remember three shows ago, let alone that interview. How did you get into the world of WordPress development and entrepreneurship through the WordPress platform?
When I started, it was more I was just building HTML websites, and I stumbled across WordPress. I said, oh, this is great. It's something where I don't have to recreate hundreds of HTML templates and then edit each individual one. This is perfect. And I just stuck with it and stayed with it. And as it grew and changed, I learned, I hacked themes up and just kind of got used to that old framework. And then from there, it just, okay, people started seeing that I was doing this, and they said, okay, can you build a site for me? And it just kind of snowballed. And at the time, I was like in my early to mid-teens. So it wasn't like I was like, you know, I remember like late teens probably, but I was, time flies, you know, old now. But it was a slow start. It was, wasn't something I started and went, oh, I'm going to build a business around this. That came much later. I did a lot of affiliate marketing beforehand just to do my own thing like that. So it became, I guess, evident to me that there was a need for something like that. So I started offering freelance services. And then from there, I started building a lot of the same types of projects. So I realized, oh, plugins might be something I could get into. And then that's just snowballed me. That's where I kind of, I've settled in now, building more plugin projects than actual like theme building and website design.
Oh, that's great. Before we throw it over to Kurt, when did you start building it on your journey, WordPress Premier plugins? When did that change happen? How long was you in your career before you delved into the world of Premier plugins?
It was 2015. I decided I was doing a lot of work just solo, quietly. I didn't have a social presence. I wasn't doing anything on social media. So 2015, I went, okay, I'm going to start doing like stuff on Twitter and just put stuff out there. I was building a couple little free themes and just giving away content because I was getting so much back from the community already at that time. It was time to start actually doing stuff like that myself. And from there, I went, okay, what can I build that's unique? And it kind of sets me apart a little bit. And the cannabis industry was nowhere near what it is today at the time. So in 2015, like the end of it, I built WP Dispensary. And it was a very simple plugin. It wasn't nothing like it is now, but it was a start. And it was something to just say, okay, here's my stamp. I'm going to do something just a little bit different. And I tried to think outside the box a little bit and come up with something that a market might need that isn't necessarily being fulfilled. Like there's WooCommerce and you can use that, but a lot of these places can't accept payments online. So they have to do pre-orders and it just becomes more, we just need a simple solution rather than a robust solution because there's no shipping involved and things like that. So I tried to find a little niche that I could get into and do things just a little bit different than what I've seen out there at the time.
So it was WP Dispensary, which was the big stepping stone for you, really.
Yep. That was the first one. That was the big mark where I went, okay, I can actually do this and build a cool product that I'm giving away for free and then build premium extensions on top of it and give those away for a price and, you know, build sites for some of the clients that came through. So it was it's a fun experience to be able to start from nothing and see it kind of blossom. And you have an idea in your mind of what the business could be. And then you just go with it and see it growing and kind of shape it as it grows over time.
Oh, that's great. Over to you, Kurt.
I want to kind of expand off of, you and I have a similar path coming into WordPress, except I didn't build product, right? But it's that HTML websites, you found WordPress, you started doing stuff. And a lot of people don't experience success on that pathway. I just wanted to ask, what do you think was like the linchpin for you that was like, I can continue to do this. I can stick with this and this is going to have some motivation.
I think part of it is just the creation process. I love to create stuff and build stuff with my hands, with the computer. It doesn't matter. As long as I'm doing something, I'm happy. So being able to come up with an idea and start building on that, it just drove me. I didn't really have a need to say, I want to build a big business. That wasn't the initial drive for it. It was just creating the stuff and building the stuff and seeing what could come out of it at the other end. You know, you stay up till 4 a.m. and you wake up the next day and look at what you did and you go, oh, this is actually pretty good. And you're excited because you kind of hit a new level with that stuff. So that's really the majority of what it was for me, was just creating I need to now switch from this thing to that thing. It wasn't a definitive moment. It was just kind of like a natural progression.
Yeah. So to shortcut your so if you was more internally motivated than motivated by people writing checks.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Similar for me. So that leads to the next question, which is part of this internal motivation talk, I guess, right? So your most recent plugins in the SEO space. And I saw that announcement, I think, December 31st on X. And so what was it that led you to develop the SEO plugin? And what are your plans for it? Like, because it looks fairly simple, like in comparison to other SEO plugins. So what's your motivation and what are your plans for it?
Yeah. The initial plan, I had the idea and it sat for the majority of the month and I didn't do anything with it until towards the end of the month. It was just honestly another plugin in a long list of ideas that I had and I was just working through. But I built it because I knew some of the community I've seen said that other plugins feel like they're throwing AI in everything, or they're trying to promo their premium products or whatever it is. They're doing too much when they just needed kind of a pared back solution. And I wanted one for myself too. I just wanted to test myself and see if I could do it. I think I actually seen the initial idea came from Brian Gardner. I seen him on X. He said he had just with ChatGPT used it to build a couple meta fields for SEO idea that he had. And I went, oh, that's pretty cool. I wrote it down and then I just started working on it. And it was a fun project to build, but now I can see that it's going to be more beneficial than just another plugin in a list of plugins that I built. So I do have plans to add schema support and there's a lot of updates that I will be putting into it. So it doesn't just sit as a simple plugin. It can actually grow and become something more beneficial to a wider audience.
Excellent. Jonathan, over to you.
Yeah, but obviously I'm stating the fact there is a number of SEO plugins in this area, Robert. Why do you feel there's a need for another one? What are some of the key things that you felt it would be worth your effort and time? Obviously, it's a big market, but also there are a number of players, and that's a two-edged sword, isn't it, Robert?
Yeah, I don't plan on coming in and saying I'm going to become the number one SEO plugin. That's not my main focus. It's just I wanted to build something fun. I wanted to build something clean and something that everybody could use without having to deal with all the extra that comes along with it. And over time, as I use it for my own sites, I'll just continue to build on the things that I can see that it needs. And as requests come in and the community responds and says, this is what we'd like to see, we'll look at it and adjust and kind of grow with it in that way. I don't have a grand plan for it. And I know there's other plugins that are simple and do SEO, in a similar fashion. So I'm not coming in saying this is the de facto best. It was just, again, another plugin in a long list that I was building just because I love the building process.
Right, right, that's clear. Well, let's go on to your extensive experience with trying to build up WP Dispensary, which we touched upon at the beginning of this show. First of all, are you still very actively involved in that? And have you still got equity in that business, or is it slightly divorced from your day-to-day attention and that? What's the basic position of that particular plug-in and business with you, Robert?
It's evolving. It's changed. I've actually, the name itself has changed from WP Dispensary to now it's just the Cannabiz Menu. I built the LLC called Cannabiz Software, and the plan was to launch a whole hosted platform. Apparently, since the government does not federally legalize it, banks and payment processors are not as playful with companies like this. So I've had trouble trying to get it off the ground and actually find a payment processor that'll allow me to do that. It's still in the works and I still have plans for it. And I've built actual premium products that I was planning on just using for that platform. And last month I released all of it as open source and gave it away. And I'll continue to build on that. And it's a definite plan. I built it and had it going really good in like 2017, 2018 when I had a payment processor and then they cut me off. So then it kind of just stalled everything. So I do want to bring it back. It's kind of been the baby project from the beginning. So I'm coming up now in November. It'll be 10 years since I actually launched it. So I'm hopeful that I can make something happen between now and then to put more effort into it and actually see it become something more than just some code that's sitting in a repo right now, waiting for legalization to happen federally.
So if it does grow eventually the way you'd hope, and it's an overnight success, it would have been based on probably 10 to 12 years of hard work and slog, Robert.
It'll look like an overnight success when they legalize it federally and everything gets the push that it needs, but it's been a long road.
You built this and so was it a conscious play that you did? I'm just trying to get, because the broad landscape. It's something you built. You found, first of all, you found this niche, and WordPress would be a great, I think would be a great solution for these type of dispensaries. I live in Nevada, and Nevada is one of those states that this is legal, and the dispensaries all over northern Nevada. It's not particularly my cup of tea, but I've got a problem with other people doing whatever they want to do. So I know a few people in this business because they're in it, because I live in this area, Robert. So was it a play that you were making and you hoped at some stage that it nationally it would be legal? Or is it just that you built it and you initially found an online payment gateway provider that would work with you? Was it a bit of both, really? I think you're probably going to say a bit of both. Are you?
The beginning it was, I know it's going to be federally legal. I just don't know when. So I'm happy to be in early, and I'm happy to sit it on the side and wait a little bit longer. I'm able to watch, and you know, as I go into different shops, I can see how they're processing payments and see what they're doing. And it kind of gives me a view from the outside looking in on how it works. So it was more of a, I know it's going to be federally legal. And I think open source and cannabis itself just kind of blend well together. It's, you know, freedom. It's, you know, I feel the freedom for all of it. So I feel like open source was a natural thing to where it's not bogged down by just a bunch of private equity, big businesses that are just looking to get into an industry and be what they're calling the green rush. I wanted to give something back. People can use it open source. They can go build their own sites with it right now. And they don't have to pay me anything. They don't have to pay for that other than hosting their websites. So I wanted to do something like that. There's not still to this day, from what I can see, something out there that's offering that. Everybody's, you know, it's SaaS and pay me money, pay me money, pay me money. So I just want to keep continuing to give back to open source. I wouldn't be sitting here now if it wasn't for open source. So my continuing to give back to that is just from WP Dispensary to cannabis software. Now it's the same thing. It's just on a different scale. I don't know if that answers the original question. I might have trailed off there at the end. But yeah, I think I got it.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the time. Let's keep going for another question. I'm going to throw it over to Kurt.
Well, our next question deals with what were the biggest challenges of WP Dispensary? And you've kind of covered like the debanking issue, you know, but it's,
yeah.
But we hear about debanking a lot. Like you hear about it with crypto currencies. You hear about it with like OnlyFans, people that can't collect their money. It comes up a lot. Like even though something could be legal in this country to do something, doesn't necessarily mean the banks are going to give you the flow for it.
Yes.
So outside of the debanking, what would you consider some of your biggest challenges with growing that product?
I think for this one specifically, it's just the market itself is more hands-on. The point of sale services in stores, they're looking for that more than just a website solution. So I'm looking at other countries though. In Canada, you can ship it in the mail. So if you're doing payments for your own website, you can set up WP, you know, the WP Dispensary code. You can actually have that running and not have to worry about going through a point of sale system because you don't have a storefront. So there's other areas outside of the US that I think that will benefit from it more. And that's the push that I'm going for. I've translated it into a bunch of different languages in hopes that it can help reach out to those areas more. I'm just trying to give back. That's the overarchingness of it, is that's what I'm trying to do. If it wasn't for open source, I wouldn't have a life and a business that I've built. Who knows where I'd be. So because of that, I want to always, you know, give thanks to that. So it's just a continuation of it. And then the cannabis industry for me was a natural fit because I'd used it since I was, you know, real, real short. So it just seemed like a natural fit for me.
Nice. Back over to you, Jonathan.
Yeah. How do you think people find WP Dispensary? Do you think it's the development? Now, obviously, it's going to be a mixture, but I think certain plugins are really pushed by the freelance agency market, and there's other plugins that are found by the end customer, by the end user. What's your own feeling around W Dispensary? Is it, do you think it's really found through search and social media from the customer base, or is it mostly driven its usage by the freelance WordPress community stroke agency? Or what's your own feelings about this, Robert?
I'd say about 70-30, more leaning towards the community and freelancers and agencies using it and finding it before the customers. I had a lot of, at the time when I was pushing it heavily, I had a lot of delivery services that were reaching out directly because they just wanted to have a site up to where someone could contact them and they could just go deliver it. So it was a lot of that little bit starting to grow at the time. I feel like as the industry grows more, it would become more prevalent that it's going to probably be a 50-50 split. And the focus would have to shift more from just focusing on pushing it and showing it for developers and how they can use it, and actually focusing like the marketing efforts and the content around the customer and the actual businesses that would be using it. So in the beginning, it's definitely getting the agencies and the freelancers and the community themselves involved and having them see it and test it out, use it for some of their clients. But then over time, you've got to push and kind of market it to the customers themselves. I don't think that it would be for a product that's not developer focused, like it's not a dev tool that every developer needs. So it's, you've got to focus on the customer first. The developers will be there and they'll be able to help and they'll be able to use it, but they're not your target market. The target market is the target market. So you always have to kind of stay in tune with that, I think.
Right. We're going to go for our mid break. When we come back, I'm going to ask some questions about the industry itself and how that affects WP Dispensary. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We've had a great initial discussion with Robert from best known for WP Dispensary, but also a really well-known individual in the WordPress professional community. Before we go into the second half, I want to point out, if you're looking for a great WordPress hosting company that really specializes in WordPress, why don't you have a look at what WP-Tonic has got to offer? We offer real great hosting, plus we offer all the best WordPress technology in one bundle, which you then can sell to your clients and white label it. We have over 15 years experience in the WordPress community. If that has interest, and we offer some great partnership deals, you can find more by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. And you can find out more there. So when you first started this plugin, so what is the lens? Because you obviously you got the world of WordPress, but then you got the world of the end user, the realities of the end user that's going to utilize WP Dispensary. And I don't know how many states, I might be totally wrong there. I think is it 6 or 7, or is it more now that it's legal?
I think it's a little more than that. I'm unsure of the exact number at the moment. I have.
Is it the main problem for them is that they can't take care? So basically, all these dispensaries that are registered in these separate states, they can't take online payments because the majority of them, they can't find a gateway provider that will handle the transaction. Is that the landscape that we're dealing with at the beginning of 2025?
Yeah, no, there's a couple payment processors. They offer like prepaid cards and direct stuff through your bank now. I just seen that I believe Dutchie is working with Plaid, and they're offering the ability to pay in store directly from your bank account. That's what I've seen. I'm not sure I haven't dove too deep into it, but I would say overall, yeah, you're running into a lot of cash only. It's cash only. There's ATMs in the lobby. You can get cash out and then pay them cash. You know, I've seen some places that they're running around and they're accepting like debit card payments, and they shouldn't be. So you're seeing companies trying to kind of skate the edges like that, but it's because everything's not federally legal. If it was federally legal and the banks could get on board and everybody could be on board, it would be way easier. So as a customer, if you're going into these places, you have to either bring cash or remember to bring your card with you so that way you can get cash out from the ATM. So it's a little more of a hassle than anything else for the end user. And then for the businesses, it's a lot of cash on hand that they don't, where are you going to put it? You know, so you're becoming more of a target now. If people are paying close enough attention to your business, you know, they're seeing, oh, there's a lot of money coming in there and there's none coming out of the building. So it becomes way more of a hassle and a way more of an issue on those scales than just the process of how you can purchase it online. Because pre-orders are hard to do. WooCommerce has solutions for that. You know, WP Dispensaries Code has solutions for that. So it's not hard to do that part of it. It's just everything else that makes it difficult.
Do you, I think you made it clear the reasons why you entered this because of your commitment to open source and as you have in the first half, you're a user of the product to some extent, which is totally fine. Do you slightly regret that you got into that particular niche because of the difficulties around payment, or are you, you know, or no? Can you do?
I'm hard-headed. So I like this industry. I like this product and I like this thing that I'm building. So I'm just going to do it. And if nothing ever comes of it and nobody ever uses it other than me and a select few other people that find it, I'm perfectly happy with that. It's something I enjoy doing. So I'll continue to do it forever. I don't see it going nowhere. It's 10 years in and my son's growing up and soon he'll be coding. So I'll eventually, you know, bring him on board and I'll hire him in and he can code for me too. And then I don't have to do that so much no more. So it's a long journey, but we'll get there.
Oh, well, over to you, Kurt.
Well, I'm curious about this next question because you had mentioned earlier about the SEO plugin that you, one of the things was you wanted to make something that didn't have AI injected into it. But then the question on the opposite side of that is what AI tools have you found yourself using to kind of help you run your business and be more productive?
The only one I use is ChatGPT Pro. I've tried a couple others and I've tried Copilot. I don't really necessarily like it directly in my code. I like being able to separate the two because I'll ask ChatGPT questions and we'll work through some things together. But then I put it into my editor and I'm changing and I'm adjusting and then I'll take it back with my changes. So I don't like it being too involved. So I really, $20 a month, that's, and it gives me everything I need. I get ideas for different things, content ideas. I ask it questions about business stuff and just to kind of have a sounding board. And then I use that to kind of formulate my own thoughts beyond that. So that's pretty much it. Just ChatGPT Pro.
Nice. Nice. You know, Jonathan's turned me on to a bunch of different AI tools that I've tried. And unfortunately, it's not just $20 a month.
They're not the ones that I've introduced you to.
It adds up.
Yeah, you've got to be really careful because I'm merciless about trying to keep my costs down. But and sometimes people that work for me are a bit annoyed by my efforts. But it's half the battle running a business. So you've got this portfolio of plugins. What are some of the ones that you're most proud of? You know, that might not mean that they're the most commercially or in user base, the biggest ones, but what are some of in your portfolio that you're the most proud of, actually, Robert?
Some of the recent ones that I built, I like bench press a lot for performance metrics on your site and being able to test out different things like that for developers. And I have plans on that for the year. That's something that I'm putting focus in. I went through, just to preface this, I went through all the plugins that I built over the last month and a half, and I've kind of organized them into groups of, these are the ones that I'm going to for sure focus on. These are the ones that I think will do well over time. And these are the ones that I might have just built for like a small utility use. Unless somebody brings it up again, they'll just probably just sit there being used if they need to be used. So the bench press one for sure is one that I'm going to be focusing more on. The markdown exporter, I like. And there's some more ideas on how to kind of customize that and make it better.
And what is that? What is that one about?
It's an exporter for your content on your site that'll export the content into markdown format. So you can use it if you're using like a static site generator and you need to export your content. You can take it right and not have to manually copy and paste or anything like that. It does it directly in the dashboard for you. And I have plans to build more, you know, customization options so you can add or remove specific features in it and allow different things to be passed through. Right now it's super strict, so it doesn't pass a lot of class names and things from your different like paragraph tags if you have those in there. So I have plans to kind of, you know, flesh that out a little bit more. And then the maintenance mode plugin I like a lot because of the simplicity, and I feel like it's something that everybody can use. And it's built with the core editor. So your layouts for your landing pages for your maintenance mode will now be built that way instead of having to use another interface. And just like that one, the Boostbox plugin, I have a lot of plans for this year. It's another one where you build your pop-ups directly with the core editor. I have a pro plugin for that that I'll be putting more into. I'm going to be releasing extra patterns and pre-built kind of pop-up patterns with that. So I have plans to grow those and, I think there's so many of them. I'm trying to think of which other ones.
Well, that's the whole point because you've been very busy. Prolific is the term that I was looking for. How do you cope, you know, a lot of people who came into WordPress, and Kirk really pointed this out to me, that are really committed to open source. I am in my way, but I'm from England, obviously, Robert, and I'm generally a bit cynical. But there's a lot of people like you in the WordPress community that came into it because you're really committed to the ethics of open source and that. And I didn't realise that there was a very strong minority of people with similar attitude to yourself. How do you deal with the a lot of people burn out, basically? They have all these support tickets, requests, and in the end, a lot of them have got a full-time job with either higher education that puts food on the table and clothes on their children, and they just burn out. How have you stopped yourself? Was it you... Or is it the product that comes from WP Dispensary that's helped with not burning out?
I would say that helps. You know, you find something that'll kind of ease the stress a little bit. You know, that's always a good thing. I think it's more in tune with, like, I do it because I love it. I'm not doing it because I'm just trying to find a way out of some other gig that I already have. And I want to build a business to, you know, escape a 9-to-5. That's not what I'm trying to do it for. I'm just building. And it helps with the burnout to not be overwhelmed with in your head about what I'm trying to accomplish just because I'm trying to accomplish it. Take it a lot less serious than I probably should at times. So I'm just more relaxed with it. And I do have times where I'll have burnout where I go like a couple weeks at a time where I'm doing like 2-3 hours of sleep a night, or I'm skipping nights of sleep. And then I'll have a day or maybe two where I crash out and there's like 10 to 12 hours of sleep for each of those days. And then a couple days after that, I know my body and my mind won't be fully back to normal, but I allow myself that time to just get back into the groove. And it gives me the ability to get back to it without suffering for like, you know, extended periods of time from the burnout. I let it happen naturally. And this is something I've been working on. I haven't always been this way. It's been bad before. So I'm finding the patterns and I'm seeing, okay, you know, if my body's not fully right on a Monday and Tuesday after a long weekend of, you know, get back to it, maybe I'll kind of give myself a day or two and do something else and then not be so down on myself because I didn't push a bunch of code on that day, because I can look back and see I just did a bunch the night before and the night before that. So take yourself seriously and just find something to relax you every now and then.
That's the gray in your beard talking.
Yes. Yes.
Once I got the gray, I slowed things down a little bit.
Very much so.
Yeah, I'm not actively in development at all, but it's a similar pattern for me, because I work some weekends, I work all weekend, and then I have a morning off and I might go skiing, but then I'm back in the afternoon and I work until 11 o'clock at night, and it's all over the place. But I prefer that, because that kind of, it suits my lifestyle, you know, it suits me really. I don't want to pry too much in your business. So if you don't want to answer this, so is WP Dispensary and all the other plugins and that, is that the main source of your income?
No, I got a full-time job right now doing maintenance at another company. This is just stuff that I'm doing. That's why I'm up so late at night, because during the daytime, I'm actually doing like Clark Kent, you know, I'm dressed up and then I pop up into a box and I come out and I'm Superman for the night. Yeah, see? Kurt gets it.
I'm amazed at your dynamism then. I think we're going to Kirk, have you got one or two questions you like? Because otherwise we're going to close up the podcast a bit early. But I'm going to, you got the final question, haven't you? The most important question. I forgot about it. You got the most important question, haven't you, Kirk?
You know, only recently has he let me take the most important question too, Robert. So, the most important
question, I've been in a much more sherry mood recently, have I not?
Is if you had your own time machine, right? If you had a TARDIS, you know, using your product, watching Doctor Who, and you could think, hey, I could travel back to the beginning of my career, what advice would you give yourself?
Go harder. And don't worry about what anyone else thinks, because I think I let myself slow roll. When I came back and said, okay, in 2015, I'm going to be myself on Twitter and I'm going to just, you know, pop out here. I kind of just took my time with it, and I was too slow. I had the capabilities already and I didn't trust that. I went, I'm a new guy. I don't want to pop up and, you know, say that I'm good. I want to just show that I'm good over time and, you know, prove it over. I shouldn't have just took that much time. I could have just went way faster. The stuff I'm doing today, I could have did, you know, 5 years ago if I would have pushed the pace just a little bit more and not be worried about what anybody else is thinking or what anybody else is going to think. If I release this thing or I do this thing or I say this thing, it doesn't matter. As long as you got morals and, you know, you're a good human being on the inside, just do what you want. It really, that's the world that we live in today. Just do whatever. So that's what I would tell myself. Just do whatever you want. Within reason, obviously. All right.
Yeah, well, we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show, folks, but we're going to have an extended other session where we're going to be discussing where Robert thinks the WordPress community is at the beginning of 2025, and what his own views and observations of what happened in 2024. It should be an interesting discussion, but like I say, we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. The podcast and the bonus you'll be able to listen and watch on the WP Tonic YouTube channel. So go over there and also subscribe, because it really does support the podcast and WP Tonic and independent media. Robert, what's the best way for people to find out more about you, your views, and what other plugin that you're producing that week?
I'm most active on X. So if you go to Devio Robert, so D-E-V-I-O, Robert, that's the account I'm using pretty much every day. And then robertdevore.com. That's where I post everything. So you can find a list of all the other stuff I've built.
Yeah, I refuse to call it X, actually, Robert. It's Twitter. I refuse to call it.
I'm trying to sway the other way now, but I've been saying Twitter until about a week or so ago. All right.
Yeah, it's not the same problem. Yeah. But in general, I refuse to use the term X. Kirk, he's shaking his head. Kirk, how can people find out more about you and what you're up to, Kirk?
Business-wise, at everything Mañana No Mas. So if you go to mananonomas.com or Mañana No Mas on X, you'll see me there. But if you just want to connect person to person, LinkedIn is the place to do it. I'm on LinkedIn almost every day, and I am the only Kurt Von Annen on LinkedIn. Easy to find.
That's fantastic. Like I say, we're going to wrap up the podcast part of the show. We've got some fantastic guests this month and some guests in February. And like I say, if you want to hear our discussion about the WordPress community, you can go over to the WP Tonic YouTube channel and watch the whole show plus the bonus content. We will be back next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.